Well, again, good morning, church family. And last time we were together, we learned about the spiritual gift of giving or generosity. We found out where the gift of giving was in the Bible, how it's applied, how it can be used in the church, how it can be bless other people in the church. We learned how it blesses those even outside of the church, outside the walls of the church. You know, I was going over this spiritual gift that we're going to be talking about here this morning, and I came upon this little joke, and I want to tell it to you here this morning. Walking through the forest, an atheist hears wrestling in the bushes. Turning, he sees a massive grizzly charging towards him. He runs as fast as he can, but he trips over a stump and falls on his face. The bear reaches him, and in moments, he's there over top of him. He raises his paw to strike him. And the atheist screams, "God, help me!" The bear freezes. The forest grows still and quiet. And God calls out in a powerful voice and says, "You have denied my existence for years. And you taught others I don't exist. You also credited my creation to a cosmic explosion. Why should I help you?" The atheist says, "Yes, all that is true, God, and I would be a hypocrite to ask you to show me mercy right now, but perhaps you could, at the very least, make the bear a Christian." At that moment, the forest came back alive, and the bear immediately dropped to his knees, put his paws together, and said, "Thank you, Lord, for this food I'm about to receive." This morning, we're going to be talking about the spiritual gift of mercy. You know, I'm so thankful to the Lord that I am no longer an atheist, because once upon a time I was. But I'm also thankful to the Lord for His unending mercy, His unending mercy. I am also very thankful to have those in my life that have the spiritual gift of mercy. I have seen it in my life time and time again where people had that spiritual gift and I received from that gift. Do you know a person who is sensitive to the needs of others? That person in your mind. And I want to stir these things up in you today. I want to stir them up in your mind because I want to encourage you that when we go through the spiritual gifts, that if you see someone with this spiritual gift, you go up to them and you tell them. You recognize it. You help them to identify their spiritual gifts. And if you have it today, I pray that it stirs up within you. You know, then people that are sensitive to the needs of the body of Christ and are sensitive to the needs of folks in the community, outside the church perhaps, you can tell in the church who has this gift. They are the ones that call the sick. They are the ones that typically end up at the hospital. They are the ones that go to visitations when someone has passed away. They are the ones that show up for funerals. A lot of these things that people go through, usually the person with this gift is the one that shows up and represents. Sermon series, spiritual gifts, sermon title: the spiritual gift of mercy. The definition of the spiritual gift of mercy is this: an abundance of compassion and empathy for those in misery or distress. The supernatural ability to cheerfully show practical and compassionate love, to reveal the physical or the mental suffering of the lowly, the sick, and the aged, to relieve, I should have said. But it is that they relieve the physical or mental or suffering of the lowly, the sick, and the aged. Point number one, who has the spiritual gift of mercy? Well, let's dig into our text here this morning, found in Romans chapter 12, verse 8. We will read that again. And thank you to my sister for coming up here and reading that portion of Scripture. He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. The spiritual gift of mercy is one that joyfully embraces those that are in need. They show Christ's compassion. They show Christ's kindness. They do. The Life Application Study Bible says this of Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. Look at this list of gifts and immediately the kinds of people who would have each gift. When you identify your own gifts, and the list is far from complete, ask how you can use them to build up God's family. At the same time, realize that your gifts can't do the work of the church all alone. Be thankful for people whose gifts are completely different from yours. Let your strengths balance their weaknesses, and be grateful that their abilities make up for your deficiencies. Together, you can build Christ's church together. And it's so important to realize that these spiritual gifts that we are going through together make up the complete church, the body of the church. You know, I was thinking of God's desire for us all is to show mercy to others no matter what. Doesn't matter if you have the gift or not. Who might not deserve it? That's hard. It is hard. We as Christians are to do this because we want to be Christ-like. We want to be Christ-like. The Bible says, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. As I was thinking, I was sitting in my office praying over this message, and I was thinking of times in my life where I have bumped into people that have the gift of mercy. And one family in particular really stuck out to me. I ended up bumping into this couple a few times at a church, and then I ended up going in for cancer surgery, and it was the winter of 05. It was my first cancer surgery, and I was cut up and just a mess and swollen and pain, laying on the couch, just pretty well miserable, and I'm laying there, and then all of a sudden we get this phone call from this Christian couple down the road, neighbors. And they said, Curtis and Cindy, we want to come and we want to bless you with a dinner and homemade vanilla ice cream. And I was like, wasn't feeling much like eating, but at the same time, that ice cream sounded mighty fine. So I said, come on, come, we'd love to have you. So they came in there, and like I said, I was pretty messed up. I was all cut up and swollen, and like I said, just a mess. And I could see in their eyes that when they gave this supper and they gave Cindy and I the ice cream and they sat with us, they prayed with us, and you could just see the genuine Christ-given mercy, care and love in their eyes for Cindy and I. I never forgot that couple. And occasionally when we go to Prince Edward Island, Cindy and I will drop in on this lady. The husband since has passed. He's with Jesus. But at the same time, we will just stop in just to say hi, thinking of you guys. We'll have a time of prayer with them and what have you. John MacArthur said this, shows mercy. One who actively shows mercy, sympathy, and sensitivity to those suffering and in sorrow, and who has both the willingness and the resources to help lessen their affliction. Frequently, this gift accompanies the gift of exhortation. So back to Romans 12, 8, it says, with cheerfulness. And it's funny that comes after with mercy and then cheerfulness, with cheerfulness. You know, I know exactly what this is saying. This attitude is crucial to ensure that the gift of mercy becomes a genuine help, not a hindrance or not discouraging people. You see, I have seen people that maybe thought they had this gift, and I will explain this to you. They bump into someone going through something, and that person goes, woe is me. Next thing you know, they go, woe is me too. Then they say, oh, I'm in pain. They go, oh, I'm in pain too. And you know, they just share. They think they're sharing in their sympathies and their sorrows by saying that they're going through the exact same thing as that person? Well, you're supposed to be doing it with cheerfulness, lifting the person up. If you have the gift of mercy, you're coming alongside them and you're saying, you know, be encouraged. You know, Jesus loves you. I want to pray for you. Is there any needs in your life that we can help you with? You know, encourage them. Don't talk about yourself. Talk about the goodness and the love of God with them. Encourage their hearts. Bless them. Another side note is that those with the gift of mercy often have a heart for the poor and they have a heart for the needy. You see, how do I know that? Proverbs 14:21 says this, "He who despises his neighbor's sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he." Happy is he. Why is he happy? Because he or she has become the hands and the feet of Jesus and have shown others what Jesus is truly like, his characteristics. Proverbs 14:31 says this, "He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy." If you are going to honor God, then have mercy on the needy, the less fortunate, the homeless, those on welfare. Show them the mercy of God. Point number two, the fruits of the Spirit are seen in the gifts of mercy, in the gift of mercy. Many of the fruits of the Spirit are found in this person as well. They exhibit them in their lives. And I want to go through the fruits of the Spirit with you for a moment, found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. And this is what it says. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law." You see, when you think of someone with the gift of mercy, you can see patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness in them. And they exhibit them fruits. There's a true story I found speaking about the fruits of the Spirit. A father was learning all about patience, gentleness, self-control. He was spending a lot of time teaching and disciplining his children. One time in church during the service, his youngest child began to act out and started screaming at the top of his lungs during the message. So the father quickly and aggressively picked up the child, threw the child over his shoulder, and began to walk out of the sanctuary with him. While the child was hanging over the father's shoulder, he stretched out his hand to the congregation and he yelled at the top of his lungs, "Pray for me!" Children can certainly teach us all about mercy and exercising the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Here's a quote I found. "Mercy is extended to those in misery. Look in the scriptures at those who cried out to Jesus for mercy." When you think of that for a moment in your devotional life, think of them people, the blind, the lepers, the sick, the demonized, the thief on the cross. The gift of mercy is to be exercised joyfully, cheerfully. This gift can be used outside the body and outside the church. It can be an on-ramp to the church. It can be an on-ramp towards the gospel, the Bible, salvation itself, an on-ramp. When you think of mercy, you can't help but think of King David. He was a man of mercy, no question about it. He expressed his emotions, he did. And one time in the Bible, in 2 Samuel 9, he reached out to Mephibosheth, who was his enemy's grandson, Saul's grandson. And we know that why he reached out to him was because he wanted to show this lame man kindness, mercy. He reached out to him for kindness' sake, for mercy's sake. And he wanted to restore to him everything that his grandfather and his father owned, who were now deceased. He did it for his best friend Jonathan's sake and to bring glory to God. Some other stories in the Bible that teach us about mercy is the prodigal son's restoration. We know that. We have read that. It's found in Luke 15. David sparing Saul's life in the cave of En Gedi. Where do we find that? 1 Samuel 24. We know that he could have killed Saul at that moment. Saul was hunting him down. And here David is behind him, behind a rock. He could have slayed him right there as his arch enemy. But he didn't. He showed him mercy. The Good Samaritan's compassion, Luke chapter 10. All through the Bible, we see God's mercy, but we also see stories of mercy that we can apply to our own lives, like the ones I just mentioned. This may not sound right, but those with the gift of mercy may hurt your feelings. And you're sitting there going, what? How? Well, they may do this by trying to address a shortcoming or a sin in your life that is leading you away from God. They're having mercy on you. They are going to you in mercy. They do it in love. They want to correct you in love, and they show mercy by doing this. Those with the gift of mercy give you and I a glimpse of what Jesus is truly like. We know he wept. We know he felt anguish. We know he felt pain. We know he felt rejection. We know he felt betrayal. Jesus was the man of sorrows, the Bible calls him. Billy Graham said, God's grace, quite simply, is God's mercy and goodness towards us. Those with the gift of mercy have feelings like Jesus. They are very sensitive. They can see a hurting person when you and I can't. They can go up and they can talk with them when you and I don't see the pain in their eyes. That person with mercy can sense it. They could see it through the Spirit of God. They see the hurts of others and they feel them too. They often live up to this portion of Scripture found in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, that says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. They will weep literally with those who weep. Merciful people do that. And point number three, Jesus is our guide when it comes to mercy. He came for mercy's sake. And when we show mercy, we show who Jesus is. I preached on this at Easter time, but Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19 teaches us that Jesus enters his hometown synagogue in Nazareth, and he reads a very familiar passage of Scripture. It is applicable to Jesus and his mercy. It's found in Luke 4, 18 to 19. It says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Sounds like mercy, right? To the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That sounds like mercy too. To proclaim liberty to the captives, mercy. And recovery of sight to the blind, mercy. And to set at liberty those who are oppressed, that is mercy. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The passage that Jesus read from was Isaiah 61, 1 to 2. And this is a direct Old Testament quote about him. It is messianic in origin and points to who he was and is. It concerns his nature, his character, and his conduct when he was here. He was and is the God of all mercy. Here's a quote. No mercy was shown to Jesus, yet He continues to be merciful to us. Amen. Charles Spurgeon wrote, God's mercy is so great that you may sooner drain the sea of its water and deprive the sun of its light, or make space too narrow than diminish the great mercy of God. Luke 6, 35 to 36, that was read here this morning, I want to reread it. It says, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. When you think of mercy, think of people that are miserable or in misery, like I said. Mercy comes alongside the miserable. Mercy comes alongside those in misery. Mercy comes alongside them when they're in a really bad place in their lives. Now, how important is that in the church of God? How important is that? You think if you are going through one of your loneliest, most terrible times in your life, and someone shows up at that moment and says, I care for you, I love you, I want to pray for you, is there anything you need? I'm here. That's a pretty special gift, amen? You see, when we think of mercy, when you think of it, think of these people. This gift is seen in a personal one-on-one type ministry because it is personal. It truly is. It's that one-on-one type gift. You see, many gifts, they encompass people, crowds, groups, teaching, preaching, evangelism, whatever. But then you think of this one, and you think this is truly a one-on-one type gift. And they reach out to those. It's personal, it's kind, it's loving, it's long-suffering, it's gentle. If you know someone with this gift, I encourage you to come alongside them. And you bless them today. You say to them, I believe that you have the gift of mercy. And thank you for being merciful. Thank you. Point number four, God's unending mercy. We can't talk about mercy without first talking about God's mercy. God who is great in mercy. Amen. Lamentations 3, 22 to 23 says this, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Do you believe that here this morning? I heard one yes. Come on, people. Do you believe that here this morning? Yes. Hallelujah. Now you're awake. Well, do you believe that through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, like the Bible says? Through the Lord's mercies, his compassions, they fail not. They fail not. I believe that here this morning. This may not have crossed your mind before, but if it was not for the love of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God, we would have absolutely no chance. No chance whatsoever. Where would you and I be without mercy? Where would we be today without the mercy of God showing up in our lives? Where would we be? Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, once a man has truly experienced the mercy of God in his life, he will henceforth aspire only to serve. That's me. When God showed up in my life, I only wanted to serve him because I understood his great mercy that he bestowed upon me. If it wasn't for God's mercy, we would be consumed. He never stops caring for us. He never quits loving us. He loves us so much that in his great mercy, he has given us a way out of hell, and he's given us a way out of the bondage of sin. The way out is through his Son, Jesus Christ. He has left us with the ultimate gift of mercy, and it is encompassed in his Son, Jesus Christ. Titus 3:5 says this, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration, the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Why are you merciful to others? Because God was merciful to you. Elizabeth Elliot wrote, if you dwell on your own feelings rather than on the faithfulness, the love, and mercy of God, you're likely to have a bad day. Our feelings are fleeting. We can't depend on them, even for 5 minutes, she says. But dwelling on the love and faithfulness and mercy of God is always safe. To finish this morning, the spiritual gift of mercy is so needed in this day and age, I can't even express it. We are living in a time where people are cold. They're uncaring towards those who are hurting, sorrowing, broken, down and out. Passing people on the streets, so to speak. It's funny. My son was with me in Calgary. And we were hanging out for a few days together there too as I was in classes and what have you. And I was giving him the lecture on, Mike, just watch yourself down here. It's pretty rugged because we were right downtown Calgary. And I said, that evening I got home, I think it was Monday evening. And I got back and I said, what'd you do, Mike? And he goes, Dad, I met a homeless guy. And I went and I bought him something to drink and I bought him ice cream and we sat on a step and I shared an ice cream with him for over an hour. And I said, right on, buddy. I said, that's wonderful. And then we were sitting down for ice cream. We ate a lot of ice cream, just saying. But anyway, we were sitting, as you can tell, right? We were sitting down for ice cream, and we had a bunch of us sitting around, and a homeless guy came up to us. And at that moment, I didn't have any cash on me to help him. And I said, well, I want to buy you an ice cream. Let me take you into the store and get you an ice cream, buddy. Come on in with me. And anyway, Mike immediately hops up and he goes, get out of the way, Dad, I'm doing it. And I'm like, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You see, we are living in a time where people are cold and uncaring towards those who are hurting, sorrowing, and broken, and down and out. Use your spiritual gifts to glorify God and bring people to Jesus. Show them the love of Christ. It is so needed today. Elders, come forward. If you would like prayer today for anything that you may be facing, maybe you are hurting today, sorrowing. You're just not having a good time. Please come forward. Our elders would love to pray with you. Perhaps you think you have the gift of mercy and you need a little direction. By all means, come forward. Talk to our elders. Let them guide and direct you and help you in that. And most importantly, if there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life, then by all means, come forward and pray with our elders. They would love to lead you to the Savior, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. To finish today, our benediction verses are found in Hebrews 4:15-16. These verses give us another beautiful illustration of the heart of the Savior. It says this, for we do not have a high priest, that's Jesus, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy, mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus can sympathize with us because he is the God of steadfast love. He is the God of all mercy, and he is the God of unending grace. I pray that over you today, and I pray you were blessed today. I'm going to pray. We have our AGM meeting to follow, and I'm going to pray for the food. If you're a member, please join us for the meeting. We would love to have you. And I want to pray right now to close down our service and for the food as well. Father God, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We give this day to you. We are so happy that we can come into your house and worship you. Lord, bless us as we go out these doors. Use us for your glory, your honor, and your praise. Lord, use us to help the hurting, the sorrowing, those who are down and out, Lord, those who grieve. Lord, help us to come alongside them as your body, Lord, as your church. Use us, Lord. And those with the gift of mercy, Lord, here today, thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for them. I pray that you bless them and use them mightily for your kingdom and your work here on earth. Lord, help them to encourage the saints, encourage our church, and Lord, be a blessing to many. Lord, thank you for the food we're about to receive. Bless it to our bodies. Thank you for the hands that prepared it. And Lord, thank you for all you are doing in our lives. We love you, Lord Jesus. And all God's people said, God bless you all. Have a good day.